Turn our Bible to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, and I'm going to read a few verses in Psalm 119 this morning. I'm glad that you're... Am I on here, Jeff? We'll move that out. Psalm 119 and verse number 97. We're going to start with this morning, Psalm 119. I encourage you to follow along with your Bible. We have quite a few places in the Bible we're going to turn, and I got little markers in my Bible to help me. Well, that looks like it's going to be a long message this morning. All those marks I have in my Bible we're going to turn to. We'll see if you can keep up, all right? I encourage you to follow along in your Bible and to jot things down, to write notes, not notes to other people. Write notes of things that God tells you as we get into the Word of God. I would encourage people to do that when they're reading and studying the Word of God, to jot things down, because your memory will fail you one day, probably sooner than later. Psalm 119, and beginning in verse number 97. If you found your place there and you're able to stand with me, would you stand in respect to the Word of God as we read a few verses, beginning in Psalm 119. Now, I could say let's read all of Psalm 119, but we won't do that. All of it's good, but we'll just start at verse number 97 and go down a little ways. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers. By the way, kids, I suggest you not try that in school, all right? For thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. By the way, that's an important statement right there. I don't hate the people that follow the false way, I hate the false way. And there's a world of difference. In our world today, people can't distinguish between the two. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. Father, we pray your blessing upon the Word of God today to our lives. We thank you for this book that we call the Bible. God, I pray that you would use it to draw us closer to you today, to give us a better understanding of who you are and what you've given to us in this precious book. Bless now your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You have a seat if you will. The greatest material treasure that I own in this world is this book I hold in my hand. It's more to be desired than gold, yea, than much fine gold. And as the psalmist just said in this psalm, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. If you had a mountain of gold in front of you, this book is more to be desired, because that gold can't get you to heaven. That gold can't tell you about God. In fact, that gold will probably take you farther from God. The longest lasting earthly possession I have, the only thing on this earth physically that will survive eternity, is this book. The book of 2 Peter tells me how everything that we see is going to be consumed with fire one day. Everything we know is going to be consumed with a fervent heat. But God says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Jesus said that heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words will not pass away. This isn't going to be destroyed in eternity. This is the one thing I have that's eternal. This is the one source of truth that I have. And I love the Bible. Do you love the Bible this morning? Oh, if we could learn to love the Bible more. That ought to be something we pray every day. God, help me to love your word a little bit more. I'm going to give you some things on how you can do that before we get done this morning. If you're paying attention, if you're here, I love the Bible. We call it, the word Bible, by the way, simply means the book. The book. This book is unlike any other book. There's nothing that compares, nothing that has ever been written on the face of the earth that compares to this book. This actually is a volume of books. It consists of 66 different books that we call our Bible. These 66 books were written over a period of more than 2,000 years by over 40 different authors. And yet, if you think about that, that's a miracle in itself, because there's not one place that contradicts another place in this Bible. Now, I hear a lot of foolish people say, well, the Bible's filled with contradictions, not mine. I've been searching it for 40-some years, and I haven't found any yet. Maybe you and your casual reading have found some, but I've never found any, and I've been looking very hard for the supposed contradictions. That in itself says that it's a miraculous book. Can you imagine getting 40, 45 people together today and having them write everything they know about God and see how much they have in common? And yet alone span that time over 2,000 years and see what the opinions of God change. And yet there's no contradictions in this book. Science has never proven one page of this book to be wrong. Now that's interesting compared to what we're taught everywhere we turn today. Science has never, not one time, proven one page of this book to be wrong. In fact, many scientific discoveries, as they're called, were declared in this book thousands of years before man found out about them. History has never discredited one record, historical record of the Bible. Many biblical references to history and historical places and people were once thought to be inaccurate until recent days. Because of modern archaeology and the discovery of other writings and compared to the Bible, they've always found the Bible to be completely right. And though they've tried to discredit it, they've never discredited the Bible. And add to that that well over 65 or 70% of the prophecies of this book have been fulfilled exactly how they've been written. By the way, the rest of them will be fulfilled. It's just a matter of time and God's time. And let me say, all three of those things, none of any one of those three things can be said of any other religious book. No other book on the face of the earth can claim either one of those three things, including the Koran, the writings of Joseph Smith, the Book of Mormon, and the writings of Confucius, and all the different religious writings. There are multitudes of places in them, especially when it comes to history, where they do not align with reality. But that can't be said of the Bible. You see, this book was written by God Himself. In 1 Timothy, or 2 Timothy chapter number 3 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's written by God Himself. In 2 Peter, God defines the verbal, inspired Word of God, verbal plenary. Those are big words. You might not know what they mean. You might write them down to look them up later if you knew how to spell them. Ask Todd how to spell them. That means that 2 Peter chapter number 1 says, holy men of God spake as they were moved or borne along by the Holy Spirit Himself, by the Holy Ghost. Not only that, but this book has been preserved by God. Now, many fools today, many of them Christians, have taken it upon themselves to figure out which part of the Bible should be tossed out and which one we should hold on to. They forget the fact that God Himself has preserved a perfect Bible for us today. Psalm 12 says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. This all-powerful, living book. Now, this is the most amazing thing to me. This book can tell me things about myself I would never know about myself. This book knows me better than I know myself. For the Word of God is quick, it's alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, the book of Hebrews says. Piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and it is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of my heart. You know, I've learned this in my life. Many things that we do, we never really understand our intent or why we do things. And sometimes we think we know why other people do things. We're a fool to think that, because I don't even know why I do things myself sometimes. But this book will tell me what my heart is really thinking. There's never been a book that's so universally loved and also hated by so many people. I think one of the best things I've ever read concerning the Bible, for a cute little Facebook post, what people live by today, is that this book has survived the hatred of all its enemies and also the ignorance of its friends. But still, the Word of God goes on. In reality, how little we know about the Bible. The preaching of this book is what brought me to eternal life by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. By getting under an old-fashioned preacher that declared, "Thus saith the Lord." In fact, I can still hear him in my mind right now saying those words, "Thus saith the Lord." This is God's Word. And God says there's one way to salvation, there's one way to heaven, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. Not by works, but by grace. Through faith in Him. The reading and the studying, the memorizing, the meditating on this book has transformed my life. My entire being has changed. For the melancholic, or some would say depressed personality, a self-centered, introverted person, to a joyful servant of Christ and others. This book has done that. And you've experienced the same thing if you have a walk with God. In this book, we can find life. We can find joy and peace and hope. And answers to life's most difficult questions are found in this book. There's no book like this. I love the Bible. Can you say you love the Bible with me this morning? I love the Bible. My greatest fear in my life is that I might fall out of love with the Bible. My greatest fear in the ministry, or my greatest burden in the ministry, is that God's people would not fall in love with the Bible, but rather fall out of love with the Bible. Now, I know love's a commitment. It's not something we fall in and out of, but we need a desire that I'm going to love this book. And I'm going to have a relationship with God, and the only way I can have a relationship with God is through this book. The gospel comes to us through this book. So we say, well, what kind of gospel would we have if we didn't have the Bible? Well, what we would have is what most churches have today. A gospel outside of the book. A gospel that includes baptism. A gospel that includes church membership. A gospel that includes our good works and earning our salvation. Oh, the gospel is declared in the Word of God, not by works of righteousness which I've done, but it's by grace. He saved me through faith in Him. And we're saved only of His goodness, not because we deserve it. And I would say the greatest need in America is found in this book. Proverbs 29, verse 18, I believe it is, says, "Where there is no vision, where there is no sure word of God, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he." Where there is no vision, where there is no absolute authority based on what God says, in other words, the Bible, that used to be the authority in America. When America was founded, that doesn't mean everybody was a Christian, but everybody recognized this book has authority that no one else has. And we don't understand everything that's in that book, but what we do understand, realize that there is one God in heaven and we are one nation under that God. And today, where there is no authority in America, all that's left for us is to perish. That's the road we've been traveling on for years. As long as I can remember, well, my earliest recallings in my school life back in the ancient days, I can remember the teacher standing up in front of class and reading from the Bible to start the day. I can remember the teacher in the public school standing up and leading us in prayer. My first couple of years in public education. But today there is no authority. It's long since been taken out of the public realm. And where there is no vision, where there is no authority, all that's left is for the people to perish. And I'm going to say this, and I'll get to the message here in a little bit. And we'll talk to you about how to build and to keep a love for the Bible. Over 43 years ago, I began a relationship with God. And that relationship was through salvation. It didn't come through baptism, I had that. Didn't come through church membership, I had that. Didn't come through attending Sunday school and church, I had that. But that didn't give me a relationship with God. That came from the Bible. And then sanctification, or setting myself apart from God, came a little while after my salvation. And I realized that this life really isn't my life. It used to belong to the devil, and I thought it belonged to me. And now as a Christian, I think it belongs to me, but it really doesn't belong to me. I'm a fool to try to keep it to myself. I want to give my life to God. That's called sanctification, setting yourself aside unto God, saying, God, this is everything I have belongs to you. And God helped me to see the importance of dedicating this life to serve God and live for others. Of course, we've shared many good days with God, many bad days with God. The good days are His blessing. The bad days are my fault. That's just the way it is. Because there's nothing bad about God. All the failures were mine, but the successes were all His. And about 43 years ago, I also met my wife. No, I didn't meet my wife 43 years ago because she wasn't my wife yet. But I met Carol about 43 years ago. And we began to develop a relationship. Tomorrow will be 41 years ago since we stood at an altar in a church like this and said, I do. For better or for worse. I got the better and she got the worse. We grew up together and knew what it is to become one in every sense of the word and still learning. The greatest desire and joy in our life for these many years has been to serve the Lord together and to serve others together. God's provided and blessed and allowed us to train four God-honoring children that now enjoy their spouses, and we kind of enjoy their spouses too, and the 14 grandchildren that are being trained in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And we've been blessed to serve in this church and in this community for over 31 years, all because of this book that I hold in my hand. There's nothing that means more to me in life than this book that we call the Bible. I love the Bible. We've weathered many storms together, and I've failed more times than I care to remember, but God has never failed. This book has been the one constant in our life and our relationship with each other. And I'm grateful for the book. I love the Bible. And I want to talk to you for a few moments. I'm going to give you five things. And again, I've got a lot of marks in here, so we're going to turn quickly to a number of verses in the Bible of how to build and to keep a love for the Bible. Let's not fall out of love for the Bible. Instead, let's fall in love. I just keep, what's that one chorus we sing? I just keep falling in love with Him over and over and over and over again. Each day he grows more sweeter. Each day this book ought to grow more sweeter. Though the cover is worn and the pages are torn, and though places bear traces of tears, yet more precious than gold is this book, worn and old. It can shatter and scatter my fears. When I prayerfully look in this blessed old book, many pleasures and treasures I see, many tokens above from my Father above, who is nearest and dearest to me. This old book is my guide. 'Tis a friend by my side. It will lighten and brighten my way, and each promise I find soothes and gladdens my mind as I read it and heed it each day. To this book I will cling. Of its worth I will sing, though great losses and crosses be mine. For I cannot despair, though surrounded by care, while possessing this blessing divine. You know, here's something to think of. I used to think about this a lot when I was a kid, when we thought that any time the Russians were coming to invade us, and now it's the Chinese that are coming to invade us, and we're always scared about something. But in reality, we have something in our lifetime that most Christians have never had. We can hold in our hand a copy of this book that we call the Bible. What if that book was taken away from you? How much Bible would you have? Only what's up here. That's why it's so important to memorize the Word of God. And when you're going around your daily routine in your daily life, God speaks to you from the Bible that you put up here. You see, you can't always be reading the Bible when you're going around your activities, but you can be meditating on the Bible. Trust me, you can't read it while you're driving. I've tried that. It doesn't work too good. But you can meditate on the Bible. And you need to put it up here, because someday, if history repeats itself, and it usually does, this book's going to be taken, the physical book is going to be taken from you. Most places in the world today, you could not travel with this book in your hand without fear of imprisonment and death. It may come to that here in this country. And the only Bible we will have is what's up here. There's just a little challenge to you that somebody gave to me years ago, and I realized, well, I need to get as much Bible in my mind as I can. But how to build and keep a love for the Bible. And by the way, if you love the Bible, it's easy to memorize it. I should say easier. It's never easy for some of us to memorize anything. How to build and keep a love for the Bible. Very similar to keeping and building a love and relationship with anything else or anyone else in your life. The first thing we need to build and keep a love for the Bible is salvation. Salvation, that's the most important ingredient. I guess in this life, to build and keep a relationship with somebody, you need life. Salvation is where spiritual life begins. Turn in your Bible, and I've got a number of verses for each of these that I'm going to share with you. Psalm 107. We're in Psalm. That's the closest one I can think of. Psalm 107. Just back a few pages. Psalm 107. And this is another great psalm of praise and thanksgiving. In fact, I believe it's four times in this psalm. It says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works of the children of men." We're going to begin in verse number 15, where it says that, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, for the wonderful works of the children of men. For He hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Fools, because of their transgression or sin, and because of their iniquities, are afflicted." That's us, by the way. That's where our troubles come from. That's where our heartaches come from. That's where our burdens come from our own sin. Now, we can blame it on others if we're foolish enough to do that, which is a very popular thing today. But it's because of our iniquities. Our soul abhorreth all manner of meat. We're so burdened that we can't eat. They draw near to the gates of death. We wonder if life is going to go on. We wonder if life is even worth living. I've been there before. Then they cried unto the Lord in trouble. I'm so glad that I knew that there was a God I could call on when I came to that place. And He saveth them out of their distresses. Isn't that good? Isn't it good to be saved? Well, how did God save them? How did God save us? Notice verse number 20. He sent His Word. Isn't that good? He saved us by not throwing us a lifeline, not sending somebody to pat us on the back, not somebody to send us a word of encouragement. No, He sent His Word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. He sent His Word, and the Gospel is recorded in the Word of God. I want you to jump to the New Testament in 1 Peter chapter number 1. You're familiar with the story with Jesus was approached by a religious leader in the night in John chapter number 3 named Nicodemus. And Jesus told Nicodemus that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And the conversation that took place there between Jesus and Nicodemus, and Nicodemus' religious confusion, well, how can I be born again? How can I enter again into my mother's womb? That's not possible. And God said, that's right, because I'm talking about something that is humanly impossible. Something you cannot do on your own. The new birth is what he was talking about in 1 Peter chapter number 1. 1 Peter chapter number 1. I've got the right reference here. Verse number 23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God. You see, the Word of God is what the Holy Spirit used to save you. By the Word of God, and notice what he says, which liveth and abideth forever. All flesh is as the grass, and all the glory of man shall... I won't read, I'm going to keep reading there, but we'll just stop right there. Let's read on. Let's look at verse number 25. For the Word of the Lord endureth forever. This is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. You first of all need to be saved. You've got to have the word. The gospel comes to us from the word of God. And you're saved only by the good news of the gospel. That I'm a sinner condemned unto death, that Jesus loved me and died and that rose from the dead. He suffered death. For me, my sin was imputed unto him, and when I trusted him as my Savior, his righteousness was imputed unto me, as we define in the book of Romans. And through the hope of his the reality of his resurrection, he's given me a hope of my future resurrection. And I'm saved by the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, as recorded in the scriptures. In fact, when you read the gospel accounts of Jesus, I love the statement that Jesus was crucified according to the scriptures. He was betrayed according to the scriptures. This book defines for us the gospel. And salvation is the first ingredient to build and keep a love for the Bible. Some say, well, I don't know how you can love the Bible. And I say, well, the preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that perish, but us who are saved, it's the power of God. There's the greatest thing in life. And second, if we're going to develop and build a love for the Bible, there's no way around this. We're going to have to listen, we're going to have to read, and we're going to have to hear the Word of God. Listen to it, read it. And here, turn, if you will, we're in 1 Peter, jump over to Revelation chapter number 1. I love this verse, Revelation chapter number 1. I'm planning on, in a month or two, starting to go through, pick up where we left off before the COVID silliness all started, on prophecy. And a lot of folks think that the book of Revelation is the only place you find prophecy. That's the last place you want to start in studying prophecy. In fact, the first three chapters of the book of Revelation, I think, for us, are the most important chapters of the book of Revelation. Starting in verse number 1, we need to realize it is the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's the revealing of Jesus Christ. It's not a fortune-telling book, as many people approach it as. It's not a hidden message, mysterious book. It's revealing to us the person of Jesus Christ. But look in Revelation chapter 1. Well, actually, we'll start in verse number 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show him unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Now, by the way, verse number 1 is the entire title of the book of Revelation. We just call it the book of Revelation because that's easier to remember than to memorize a whole verse. That's the official title of the book. Who bear record of the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. John gave us the Word of God. Now, I won't get into all that I believe that verse is teaching us there, but verse number 3 is a verse I want to look at. Blessed, or blessed, depending on how religious you feel today, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of the prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein. For the time is at hand. The blessing is in reading and hearing and in keeping. Listening. They that read, they that hear, and they that keep. How to build and keep a love for the Bible. And by the way, husbands, let me help you out a little bit here. Best way to build a relationship with your wife is to learn to listen. Huh? That's why they got such a troubled home right there. Learning to listen is so important in any relationship. And I'm talking about a relationship with a living book. A relationship with a living God. Learn to listen to Him. Learn to hear Him. Learn to read His instructions. If my wife writes me a note like she did this morning, I read it. And I remembered too, didn't I? Because I not only read it, I rewrote it. Huh? Pretty good, huh? And then I lost where I put it. So, but I read it, and it's important. What was it that note was about? Something I had to announce. Did I announce it? I did announce it. Okay. All right. I'm not in trouble yet. But you read and you listen. That's important in any relationship. I'm talking about a relationship with the Word of God. Not just, this isn't some dusty book you sit upon the shelf. This is a living book. And I want a living relationship with a living book and a living God. And then also, God says to keep it or to obey it. And that's the third thing. Learn to obey this book. In James chapter number 1, back a few pages, James chapter number 1 in the Bible. James chapter 1 is such a great, important verse when it comes to learning to obey the Word of God. James chapter number 1, and beginning in verse number 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man, notice it says every man, not every woman. Seems like a man has more trouble than women do with this. Every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with the meekness the engrafted word, which shall be able to save your soul. The engrafted word, the engraved word. In other words, when you memorize and meditate on God's word, it becomes engraved in your heart. If you're not in the habit of memorizing and meditating on the word of God, it never becomes the engrafted word. That engrafted word which can save your souls. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. And then an interesting story or parable, however you want to see this, is told. For if a man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man that beholding his natural face in a glass or a mirror, we say today. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgotteth what manner of man he was. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, but being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the fatherless is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Learn to obey the Word of God. Let it engrave the Word of God in your heart that you can do what God commands you to do. And then the next thing is learn to seriously study the Word of God. Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Many of you know at least the first verse that I'm going to read here in 2 Timothy 2 and verse number 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun, well, this is maybe one of the most important verses in our day today concerning the word of God for God's people. Shun profane and vain babblings. That's about everything you read in the news or on the internet. For they will increase into more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already and overflow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. I don't want to be a part of that. I don't care if it's left wing, right wing, middle wing, no wing, whatever. I really don't have time. I'd rather spend more time in this book. And I guarantee you, you'd be a whole lot better off if you'd shut all that silliness off and just get your nose in this book right here. And that'd save you a whole lot of trouble, save you a whole lot of heartache, save you a whole lot of fear and confusion in our day today. Go back to the book of Acts, and this is where the name came from for the church that I was saved and brought up under. In Acts chapter number 17, the Apostle Paul is on his what's referred to as his first missionary journey of Barnabas and Saul, or Paul and the second missionary journey of Paul and Silas. They were in Thessalonica in verse number 10. They were run out of town in Thessalonica. In verse number 10, the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night to Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews, and these were more noble than those at Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. Therefore many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, of them and of men not a few. To be a serious student of the Word of God, to study, to meditate on the Word of God. I've learned this, that the more I study this book, the more I meditate on this book, and the more I see the wisdom and understanding of this book, the more I love this book. And the more I get to know my wife, the more I love her. And the more I love this book, the more I get to know this book, the more I love, the stronger that relationship gets. Are you with me this morning? It's the same principle. It's the same thing. And then, oh boy, this is important. This is the last thing I want to make mention of. If you turn your Bible over to 2 Peter chapter number 1, 2 Peter chapter number 1, and I'll just say it this way, this whole chapter is good. I want to read the whole chapter, but I'm going to have to stop somewhere. 2 Peter chapter number 1. If we want to build and keep a love for this book, we're going to have to make time for this book. Most people say, well, I'd like to study the Bible. I'd like to read the Bible. I'd like to memorize the Bible, but I don't have time to do that. I'm busy doing this and that. You make time for what's important. You want to have a happy marriage, you make time for your husband or your wife. You want to rear your children for the Lord, you're going to make time for the teaching and the training, the admonition of the Lord and your children. You want to have a relationship with God, you're going to make time for Him. And not use the excuse that's ever popular today and it's becoming increasingly popular the longer I live. Well, I just don't have time for that. Look what God says in 2 Peter chapter number 1. I'm just going to begin in verse number 1 because this whole chapter is so good. I found this is one of the most helpful chapters in my life personally in walking with God. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them, and you know who Peter is from the Gospels, and them that have obtained like precious faith. In other words, they're saved. Everybody who's saved with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied. I like that. Not just added, but multiplied. You understand the difference there. God wants His grace and peace to be multiplied unto you through the knowledge. Notice it says the knowledge of God. Not the knowledge about God, but the knowledge of God. Having a relationship with Him. And of Jesus our Lord. According to His divine power. And by the way, my God's all powerful. Amen? He spoke this universe into existence. By Him all things consist. He holds all things together. By that same divine power, that God that can and has done everything as He pleases, He has given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him. And again, not in Him, but of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. He wants us to be like Him, is what He's saying. And He's given us the ability to be like Him. Now, of course, it's going to take us a long time to get there when we can't fully get there when we're still living in this flesh. We're not going to fully achieve that until we're in His presence, when our fleshly nature is in the grave or left behind when we're caught up in the rapture. Whereby are given, look at verse number 4, are given us exceeding precious promises. Greater than anything else in life are the precious, not just precious, but exceeding great and precious. He couldn't come up with enough adjectives to put in there to describe how good this book is that we hold in our hand. They're given exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, that you can learn to walk like Christ in this present world, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, the lust of our flesh, the lust of our sin nature. And beside this, giving all diligence. In other words, this is the most important priority in life right here. All diligence. Given to all, besides giving all diligence, add to your faith, your salvation, your faith in God, virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. And by the way, these are tremendous. There's seven words that are listed here. If you study these words out in the Bible and realize that I need to have a relationship with God and a walk with God, and I need to focus on these seven things to add to my faith. And godliness, brotherly kindness, charity. Now, notice in verse number 8, I'm not going to bog down with the definition of those words for right now. But verse number 8, for if these things be in you and abound, they will make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things. In other words, these are not the priority in my life. These are not the most important things in my life. He that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. That's about as far as you can get. You've forgotten that you've even been saved. You've gotten so far from God. And the reason is we didn't have time to give ourselves to studying this book and understanding these seven things and adding these things to our life through the Word of God. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. Wow. And Peter, throughout this book, he says it. This book, and I think he says it in verse number 13. He says it again in verse number 15. That all throughout this, I'm not telling you anything new. This is something you already knew. I'm just saying this by way of reminder. If you would just do what you know you ought to do, and that is to love this book above everything else, you'll never fall in your Christian life. You'll never fail. Make this a priority. Oh, I love this book. This book has brought me through so much in my life. Any failure has not been God's failure. It's been my failure to not hear Him and to not and follow His instruction book. I'll close with this. The most recent thing that I got, and guys are good at this. You buy something. I bought a new grill. And our gas grill gave up the ghost some time ago, but got another year's life out of it. You know how that is. Duct tape and rust flavored burgers and everything else. But we need to get a new grill. That's odd. Okay, I'm a Baptist, which means I'm cheap. I found the cheapest, decent-looking grill that I could find. And it even saves you more money if it comes unassembled. Right? And this big grill is sitting out there right now. I've only used it a couple of times. I prefer to use a Neanderthal grill, which is what I usually cook over. But that puts off too much smoke sometimes. That's what I did this week. So I got this big grill, and it comes in a little box. How can they fit that grill in that little box? And I took out the box and took up the whole patio for all the parts. And, of course, in the old days, I'd say, what's this paper? We don't need that. I don't need paper. I need a grill. There's no paper in a grill. That's the instruction. Oh, life is so much easier. That thing went together very, and believe it or not, I didn't have one spare part. Usually I got a bucket of spare parts when I'm done putting it together. Well, what's that for? I don't know. I don't think that's necessary. Oh, we don't really need that. We don't have time to read the instructions. We got meat to cook, huh? We got things to do. We don't have time for this. And I'm glad that I decided I'm going to read through the instruction booklet before I start anything. And then I'm going to do something that I very seldom do. I'm going to look at the inventory on the list and make sure I got everything that's on the inventory. That sometimes is helpful later on. Why do you do that? And then I had it in front of me and followed the instructions. Of course, I had to find the page that was written in English, which took a little while. And it works good. How often do we go through life and just as foolish? Well, I don't have time for the Bible. I don't have time to study the Bible. I can't even read. Why would I even read? Why would I take time to go through that? A wise person will make it a priority. And the same thing's true in anything in life. Build or keep a love for the Bible, first of all, by salvation. If you have no salvation, there's no life there. You're not going to enjoy the Bible no matter what. I remember trying to read the Bible before I was saved, and I couldn't understand any of it. Didn't make a lick of sense what I did try to read. And I struggled with reading to begin with, but now all the these and the thous, what's all that all about? I don't understand any of this. And it was nothing but frustration. And I can remember to this day, after I got saved and I picked up the Bible and started reading it, and it's like, wow. It's like reading with your eyes open now. Now the light's on. It's making some sense. And learn to listen and read and hear. Learn to obey. When God chose you to do something, that's why I jot things down to remind me, oh, this is what I need to focus on today. God, this is where I need to, this is where we need to work. This is where I need your help today. And learn to obey and be a serious student of the Word of God. Study it. Memorize it. Meditate it. You're studying for an exam. By the way, you will be tested in everything that's in this book. You'd best study it ahead of time. Trust me, I know from experience. It doesn't work too good in school when you don't study ahead of time either. And make time. Make it a priority. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet.